I love the dark blue clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds this coming October 2017. We're also looking to set up some quarterly previews and other smaller events around the Monterey and Santa Cruz area. In addition, this weekend, with one of our co-sponsors, the Virtual Psychic Fair is live again. Now, you can go online, visit thevirtualpsychicfair.com. It's also listed on the products page of goodvibrationsradio.com, so you can actually go there to find out how to connect in, sign up. All the lectures and meditations are free. You can sign up for an online reading with one of the readers. There are astrologers and tarot card readers and a variety of psychics. So there's a lot to see, and there's also a vendor mall where you can shop merchandise. With the inauguration being tomorrow, this may be a good weekend to kind of check in to say, what's going to happen in my life? What's headed for me? What do I need to do next so I can focus on the best, most positive outcome of what's certainly going to be a series of challenging years with this new administration. And here we are, as I said, tomorrow's the inauguration, but this is the 19th of January, 2017. It's been a fast year. It's going to get faster, faster and faster and faster. And it's going to be a very challenging time for all of us. Now, some of the astrological signs will have more flow, and I'll talk more about that a little later. But as you know, I like to start each show with Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to know that what we focus on, what we believe, where our intention comes from, that's what's going to frame our present reality, all of those past thoughts and actions. But our present thoughts and actions are going to create our future. So each day we have a new opportunity to create our future. It's never predetermined or predestined by our past thoughts and actions. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been broken up into a little bit for each day of the month. And so for the 19th day of the month, he tells us good thoughts bear good fruit. I have to admit I'm having trouble with those good thoughts right now, but good thoughts bear good fruit. So every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and take root there produces its own, blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstances. Good thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts bear bad fruit. So it's the whole idea that most of us are spending our time focusing on the negative. But if we're able to turn that around and put some positive thoughts in there. Now, I'm not talking about rose-colored glasses. I'm just talking about not obsessing and not focusing on the negative. And that's what I was saying. Right now, I'm having a challenge with that, but I'm working on it. One of the things I do to infuse some positive thoughts into my day is use the daily word put out by Unity. And the daily word gives you an affirmation for each day of the month. And today it tells us, I connect with spirit and peace fills my heart. If we remember that allowing our mind to go into a place of stillness, not rushing around, taking some moments to sit quietly, will allow us to reconnect with our higher self, with our peace, with our soul. And it's important to give ourselves those moments of peace each and every crazy day. Here in the Monterey Peninsula, we've been having a lot of rain. And sometimes those gray, rainy days are the perfect ones for trying to find that place of peace. So allow yourself to reconnect to find your peace. I connect with spirit and peace fills my heart. Well, that's enough for me for the moment, till later when we'll talk about some of the astrology coming up and the expectations for different signs for this year. But let's go to our segment for today. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. But his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a wide variety of organizations from San Francisco to King City. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster, and in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Now, he joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the third Thursday of each month. So let's listen to Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Solazar, and welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. As Solazar said, I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all relationships by listening from your heart. Now, in these difficult times that are difficult for some of us and maybe exciting for others, I think it's actually probably exciting for everybody, regardless of which side of the continental divide or you live on. And this is January 19th, one day before the transition to the new administration. And I think for me, it's particularly challenging at times like this. And so today, what I want to talk about is really kind of two related concepts and why they're important and why it's important not to just throw them overboard when things happen that we're not happy about. And those two are empathy and sympathy. So today I'm going to talk about empathy and why it's so important. I'm going to contrast it with a similar but very, very different idea of sympathy and why the difference is important in effective communication. Now, much of what I talk about and in my work with both individuals and with couples is focused on personal relationships, interpersonal relationships and things like that. But in a way, when you consider the kind of political dialogue that's been happening over both over the election, over this transition period, over this angst that a lot of people are feeling, I strongly believe that that's not an excuse or a reason to abandon the very principles that I've been advocating. Maybe principles is too strong a word. What I'm most interested in is whether something is effective or not effective. And in a way, that's not really a political or an ideological position. When it comes to communication, what is your objective? What is it that you want to accomplish? in a relationship, even in a political dialogue? What is it that you want to accomplish by engaging somebody in a dialogue, especially somebody who has a different point of view than you do? All of these ideas I've expressed in one way or another. And just because things are happening that are a bit outside of our norm or the norm that we're used to, doesn't mean that these same principles don't apply. Again, my focus here is not on politics or I mean, I have particular beliefs and viewpoints and perspectives on all of that, but that's not what this segment is about. What this segment is about is communication. And the thing is, it's easy to communicate with people with whom you agree. And one of the problems with that is that that's what has led to people being in, I guess, what's now called a bubble, meaning, or an echo chamber, where you're only interacting with people who have the same beliefs. And that's so easy to see in other people, and not so easy to see in oneself. It's not so easy to see that there are people with whom you disagree who are not bad people. So that brings me to my topic, which begins with empathy. And again, I'm going to talk about empathy and sympathy and why they're different and why it's important. So first, let's see what is empathy. And I've pulled a few resources on this. So according to Wikipedia, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's often the first place I go to. But according to Wikipedia, they define empathy as the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within the other being's frame of reference. That is the capacity to place oneself in another position. And I really like that definition. In other words, what it does is it takes you out of that place of the person that you're disagreeing with, and it asks you to walk in their shoes, as it were. Or as the saying goes, you know, walk a mile in another person's shoes, because then they're far away and barefoot. No, but actually, you know, the idea is to really see things from their point of view. In relationships, that's absolutely critical. If you're dealing with somebody with whom you don't have a relationship, and they're adamant about a political belief that's an anathema to you, then the focus isn't on the relationship, but to me the focus is on what is it you're trying to accomplish. And what I see happening is more and more people just being adamant and insisting that the other person is wrong. And in fact, and there are some things for which there are not necessarily two sides. So, for example, you might consider racism. Well, on the one hand, there's the belief that regardless of one's race, one ought to have equal opportunity, equal rights, the same considerations. And now the other side is, well, no, people, particularly people of color, don't have that right. You say, well, are those two beliefs equally, you know, is that one side or the other? I say no. But by the same token, it's easier to see the bigotry in someone else than it is to see in oneself. And is there a place inside of me that maybe holds similar kinds of attitudes? Moving on, The Merriam-Webster Dictionary has a slightly longer one. They say empathy is the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another, of either the past or present, without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. Now that's a little bit more of a mouthful. But it does identify a key element towards the end, that is being aware of, being sensitive to the feelings, the thoughts, and experience of the other, but without having them, without having those same feelings and thoughts. And I think that that's, a crucial element of what empathy is. According to Psychology Today, they say that empathy is the experience of understanding another person's condition from their perspective. You place yourself in their shoes and feel what they're feeling. Empathy is known to increase pro-social behaviors. And then they go on to say, while American culture might be socializing people into becoming more individualistic rather than empathetic, research has uncovered the existence of mirror neurons which react to emotions expressed by others and then reproduce them. And that's according to Psychology Today. So that kind of gets us off a little bit into a tangent, but again, the experience of understanding another person's condition from their perspective. And really, I think the most succinct and the definition is from the Oxford English Dictionary of all places. And it defines empathy as the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And I think that really summarizes it in a nutshell. The origins of the word are from two Greek words. There's the Greek em, which means in, and pathos, which means passion or feeling. So it means to be in the feelings. And what it's come to mean is not to be having the feelings, but to be understanding the feelings, and especially, and I like what I like about this Psychology Today definition, from that other person's perspective, or from the other person's frame of reference. So really putting yourself in the other person's shoes and kind of understanding, while not necessarily agreeing. Now, in contrast, we have the notion of sympathy. Now, according to dictionary.com, sympathy is the harmony or agreement in feeling as between persons or on the part of one person with respect to another. Again, that's according to dictionary.com. We stand by Wikipedia. So sympathy is the perception, understanding, and reaction to the distress or need of another life form. And that kind of gets into the common use of sympathy has to do with when somebody has undergone a tragedy, maybe lost a loved one, you express sympathy. And then finally, our old friend Oxford English Dictionary has a slightly longer definition. It says, sympathy is a real or supposed affinity between certain things by virtue of which they are similarly or correspondingly affected by the same influence, affect, or influence one another. And that actually touches on the notion of sympathetic vibration. And, from certain perspectives, all communication, has to do with some kind of sympathetic vibration. From some perspectives, we're all nothing but vibration. And when you have vibrations that are of different frequencies that are out of tune with one another, then they don't interact. They just pass through each other. Whereas when the vibration is in sympathy, as it were, then there's a bit of a connection. And I regardless of where you are in terms of believing that, that's a useful metaphor at the very least, if not strictly literally so. The origin of sympathy is very similar to empathy. Again, sim part means together, and pathos again is passion or feeling. So it's mean you're basically feeling together. And that's a little bit different than communicating. Because, see, when you're communicating, effective communication happens when both people maintain their own individual boundaries and autonomy. And therein lies the challenge of communication. On the one hand, stay with your integrity and to stay with yourself as an individual means having a certain, you know, boundary. And yet, on the other hand, if you're interacting or, again, sympathetically vibrating, as it were, or empathetically communicating with another person, then that means that there has to be something, some kind of energy that comes through that boundary and gets in. And that's where, you know, empathy leads to slightly firmer boundaries, because even though I understand and get your position from your perspective, I still maintain my own thoughts, my own feelings, and they're mine, and yours are yours. And that distinction is very clear. Whereas with sympathy, it can lead to a blurring of those. In other words, if I'm literally sympathetically vibrating with your feelings, that means I'm feeling your feelings. And in some respects, that's a failure of my boundary. I mean, I'm not feeling my feelings. I'm feeling your feelings. And the thing about feelings is that's something that we each own. I mean, and that's so important, and that's why validating feelings is always, you know, feelings are always something that are true to the person who's feeling them. You know, somebody's upset, even if they're upset about something which they totally misunderstand, the fact of their being upset is absolutely true for them, because that's what they're feeling. On the other hand, if I allow myself to feel your feelings, that is not my feelings, but your feelings, then I'm really allowing someone else, I'm allowing you to kind of hijack my own internal state. At its extreme, that becomes a kind of codependency, whereby I only feel good if you feel good. If you feel bad, then I feel bad. And so what that leads to is I'm going to try to, you know, if you're feeling bad, which makes me feel bad, I'm going to try to manipulate you into feeling good. But the thing is that you're feeling, you know, if you feel bad, you feel bad. And it just doesn't work. It's not effective to try to get somebody else to feel something that they don't feel. It's ineffective to even do it to oneself. I mean, I think a very important part of, you know, of inner work and becoming self-aware is to be in touch with what your feelings are, and to be able to not deny them or avoid them. And so empathy leads to more effective communication, because it's the capacity to understand what the other person is experiencing without getting sucked into it. Whereas sympathy can lead to boundary failures and is generally ineffective. Sympathy, so here's some of some more of the differences. Sympathy emphasizes feeling the same as the other person, whereas empathy emphasizes knowing and understanding their feelings, but not necessarily feeling them the same way. In other words, if you're feeling sad, then I don't have to feel sad with you, but I can empathize by being there with you, validating the way that you're feeling, whether I agree with the reasons why you're feeling that or not. Likewise, you know, you may be you know, elated and happy, and I may be feeling sad. And I can, sympathy says, if you're feeling elated, I have to feel happy. Empathy says, I can feel sad, and you can feel happy, and I can validate that. Now, of course, it's always ideal in a relationship if both people are practicing empathy. So if you're feeling happy and I'm feeling sad, I can validate your feeling happy, and you can validate my feeling sad. But it doesn't always work that way, because if you're feeling happy, maybe it's a bummer for you to try to validate my feeling sad. On the other hand, if with healthy boundaries, if you're feeling sad but I'm feeling happy, that I can validate your feeling sad without my having to deny my own feeling happiness. I may not have to, you know, I may not, it may not be so effective to express that. So if you've undergone an experience that's caused you to feel very sad, and I've just gotten a raise at work, then, you know, it's, I can still feel that. I don't have to necessarily express that. In fact, there are some, there are some amusing commercials now where I think something like, you know, these terrible things are happening, but so, oh, but I got a great deal on insurance. Oh, okay, that makes everything okay. That's not quite what we're talking about here. Sympathy, again, it implies negative feelings. You know, you express sympathy for somebody who's expressed a hardship, whereas empathy involves either positive or negative feelings. It can go either way. And here's a metaphor that I find particularly helpful. If somebody has very negative feelings, you know, they're feeling sad, they're feeling lonely, they're down, they're discouraged, it's like they're in a hole. You know, they're in a hole and they don't know how to get out. With sympathy, what we do is we jump into the hole with them, and now we're both sitting in the hole with no way to get out. With empathy, the metaphor is that with empathy, we offer them a ladder so that they can choose to climb out of the hole if they wish. And we don't make them climb out. But if they choose to, then it's often a way, it's a way out. And my experience in tracking people who are feeling really down is that they reach a point where they're willing to kind of look up, and they're willing to kind of move away from just being so despondent and disheartened. And you know, frankly, considering the events that are about to happen, there are a lot of people that are feeling discouraged and despondent, and there are also people who are feeling elated and thrilled about how things have gone. In terms of their feelings, I mean, everybody has a right to their feelings. See, sympathy tends to put you in a one-up position with respect to the other person. You know, I'm so sorry for your loss. Again, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that, but it tends to, you know, it's like I'm comforting you, so there's that one-up. Whereas empathy puts you on an equal heart-to-heart type of relationship. In other words, we're on equal footing. A statement of sympathy, you know, a typical statement of sympathy is something like, I know just how you feel. And that's, that to me is a cringeworthy statement, because most often the person hearing that, they'll either say, or usually if they're polite, not say, but you have no idea how I feel. And that's often the case. You know, the fact is that I don't know how. Yeah, even if we use the same words, if I'm happy, if I'm elated, that may mean one thing to me, and that may mean an entirely different thing to you, even though it's the same word. If I'm sad, sad to me feels a certain way and looks a certain way, and sad to you looks something entirely different. So I have no idea how you feel. I don't know how you feel. And so to say something like that, it really is to be counterproductive with respect to communication. So the bottom line for me comes down to this, is that when times are difficult for some of us, does that mean that we throw all of our principles and beliefs out the window in pursuit of just trying to make people wrong and see people as being bad? For me, if that's the case, then those principles were not very firm to begin with. So again, the difference between empathy and sympathy. You know, empathy is the core perspective behind effective communication that I try to teach, emphasize, and I try to practice in my own life. Whereas sympathy to me is something which is not so effective in terms of establishing heart-to-heart relationships. Yeah, or just even casual relationships. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's not that sympathy is bad. Neither, you know, both of these are, you know, in a way neither bad nor good. The question, again, to go back to what I was saying before, is it effective or not? Is coming from a place of empathy more effective than coming from a place of sympathy? That's been my experience. Maybe your experience is different. And so I'm not asking you to just sort of believe what I'm saying. I'm asking you to maybe test it out. Try it for yourself. See if you can be empathetic to someone that you strongly disagree with about something that you feel is important. One of the Buddhist exercises that I really like, heard from Pema Chodron. I believe she calls it Tonglen, and it's a process where you're basically creating positive feelings towards people, starting with yourself, and then moving to people who are close to you and who you care about, and then moving to people who are maybe not so close, but you know about, and eventually moving to all of humanity and having generally positive feelings towards every person on this earth. And that's something that, I find quite challenging to go that far. I can usually get as far as people who I know. there are certainly some people who I've been hearing in the news for which it's challenging to have positive feelings toward. And yet even somebody who is in these confirmation hearings, I'm hearing just some of these outrageous statements being made by the people who are supposedly going to be leading the country. And yet as human beings, they all, to me, deserve the same compassion as any other human being. That doesn't mean that they're the best people to be in a position of leadership, but that's a question of opinion, and there are different opinions about that. But that's not what I'm focusing on here. But I feel more strongly than ever that becoming an effective listener is so vital in this time. It doesn't mean that we have to give up our beliefs. I mean, I don't have to give up my belief or my feelings to be an effective listener, and that's what empathy gives me. It means I can appreciate and understand and validate your point of view whether I agree with it or not. Whereas with sympathy, I can only be sympathetic if I agree. So if I don't agree, then that means that there's no connection. And as I was alluding, it is so easy to listen to somebody when I agree with them, or if I'm comfortable with what's being expressed. You know, that's easy. Anybody can do that. Effective listening becomes crucial when I disagree with what's being expressed. And, you know, sympathy implies agreement. If I come from a place of sympathy, then I have to agree with you in order to really listen. But in many cases, especially these days, I don't agree. But empathetic listening, it means that I accept your thoughts and feelings without necessarily agreeing with them, but I accept your right to having those thoughts and feelings. I mean, I still may believe that they make terrible policy. I still may see that they're at odds with reality, but that doesn't invalidate anybody's right to have those feelings and those thoughts. So what is your goal in communication? Is it to convince that the other person that they're wrong? Is it to express your point of view to someone and who holds a different position and have them be empathetic in the sense of at least getting what it is? Is that your objective? Are you just speaking to the, you know, preaching to the choir, as they say, so just expressing opinions to people who share the same opinion? Again, that's, you know, that can feel good. What does it accomplish? Is it to hear and understand where the other person is coming from so that you can maybe find some kind of common ground? If that's the case, then empathetic listening is the most effective way to accomplish that. Again, if I want to hear and understand where you're coming from, and I disagree with everything that you're saying, the more that I can be empathetic towards that, the more I can achieve that objective of hearing and understanding where you're coming from. I think one of the things that are coming out in the election is that there is so much polarization and lack of understanding of where people of opposite political views are at. And yeah, I mean, I have mine. I have particular political viewpoints, but that's not the issue. And I can hang out and interact with people that I agree with, and that all feels fine. But what does it accomplish? So even if I want to express my position to somebody who disagrees, then the most effective way to accomplish that is to first listen empathetically, to track that other person until they get that I understand them. They get that I am empathetic with their point of view. And when somebody feels heard and understood, then and only then are they open to hearing another point of view. When somebody holds a position that you believe to be inconsistent with reality or facts as you know them, is it more effective to show them how they're wrong? Or is it more effective to inquire as to why they believe that? In other words, have a dialogue instead of trying to make... Because understand how difficult it is for anybody to let go of beliefs, even in the face of contradictory evidence. And that's true of me, that's true of you, that's true of everybody. One quote that stands out for me was made by President Ronald Reagan, and if you're of a certain age or have read history, You know that there was this thing called Iran-Contra, and that had to do with basically cutting this deal to free some hostages. It's a long story, but the bottom line was it was something that happened. It was something that the president and his the people in his administration were denying happened until the evidence was incontrovertible that it happened. And Ronald Reagan said this about it after he said, quote, "A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and evidence tell me that it's not. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and evidence tell me that it's not." So in that case, at least he was able to overcome that that resistance to the contradictory evidence, at least in part, at least enough to admit that, yes, the facts and the evidence said that that's what happened. And yet he still had to say, you know, my heart says that it's not, says that it's true, but the facts say that it's not. We all have a certain element to that. We all have a certain element of clinging to beliefs instead of accepting something that contradicts them. You know, for me, it's kind of summarized in the following. I read so much about the dangers of smoking that I gave up reading. In other words, I didn't really want to know. And, you know, and the thing is to recognize that we all have a certain degree of that, and so does the other person. And it doesn't mean that we have to accept the unacceptable. It doesn't mean we have to agree with something which we know not to be true. It doesn't mean that we have to accept bigotry or racism or policies that harm people. It means none of that. But it does mean that the more effective we can understand and empathize with the people who might hold different beliefs, the more effective we are going to be in pursuing what our goals on that. And so whether your goals are political or particularly in a relationship, then I encourage you to come from a place of empathy and not from a place of sympathy, and certainly not from a place of criticizing or making wrong. And that does it for me. So you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate you joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every third Thursday at a little after 5 right here on Good Vibrations Radio, which I understand is now coming in a different format, but that's technical stuff I don't quite get, but Solazar could probably explain it all. If you want to learn more about effective listening and more of my workshops on effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss, that's two S's, at consciousawareheart.com, consciousawareheart, all one word. You can like me on Facebook at awareheart, follow me on Twitter at effect5com, that's effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M, and visit my website at consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen from your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.
Well, that was Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening. You can go to the homepage of goodvibrationsradio.com to find out how to listen to the show. You can listen to the show live or get the podcast after the fact, and the podcasts are usually posted within an hour or two of the actual show. And that's the best way to get it downloaded so you can listen to it locally and listen to it at your own time. and then replay it so you can get the information. Now, I mentioned I was going to touch on a couple of things astrologically, and I do want to touch on them. Couple of things that are going on, and several of them started today, and they're very, very important, and I think they impact us as we go into this inauguration. You know, building on what Dr. Buss was sharing, I guess my one issue with people, and he did touch on this, my one issue with people predominantly is it's not so much your opinion, but if your opinion is based on false facts, I have an issue with that. And if you're stuck on your false facts and won't get off, then I pretty much have no room for you. It's not your opinion. It's what you're using to draw your opinion. I have issues with that, and I have to continually work on that and leave conversations because sometimes people just don't want to change what they believe the facts are when they aren't the facts. But let's talk about what's going on right now. It started at 1:16 a.m. today when Mars in Pisces got into a fight with Saturn in Sagittarius. It's called, astrologically, a square. And a square is nothing but a fist fight. That's really what it is. Now, Mars is all about energy and fire, and Mars is really elevated when it's in Aries. So being in Pisces, a water sign versus a fire sign, is drowning Mars. And I talked about that pretty much last week at length. And Mars does not like being in Pisces. Now, the good part is it holds down some of the aggression, so it's not as in your face. The bad part is it also holds us down from really taking action. So we've got Mars in Pisces, and it likes speed and action, pumping iron, testosterone. And then we have Saturn in Sagittarius. Now, Sagittarius is, of course, a sun sign, but Saturn actually likes the Earth. It's at home in the Earth sign, like Capricorn. That's where it prefers to be. So Saturn likes sensible and slow and deliberate, which sounds like Capricorn, doesn't it, for those who know. So the square is the fight between these two. And since Saturn tends to drain whatever he touches, this transit will leave us all feeling a little tired, a little frustrated, and perhaps easily offended. Now, this transit is going on right now, and we're going to have the impact of it again tomorrow. I don't know about you. I'm avoiding all inauguration coverage to stay away from it. As I get closer to it, I find myself getting more and more agitated from the hope and the vision and the dream and the looking for the best outcome that I had hoped for things, whatever that best outcome might be. So now Saturn in Sagittarius, it represents authorities. And so during this transit of Mars in Pisces fighting Saturn in Sagittarius, no one in authority is going to show much love, whether it's parents, police, teachers, bosses, or even ourselves. We will even question ourselves. So even though Mars is wet, Mars won't take it quietly. Now he's going to want to rail against the system. Mars is always determined to succeed, but too often he wants to rub it in other people's faces. This is one of the good parts about Mars being a little drowned, a little wet, a little soggy, that it's not going to be as easy for that Mars energy in us to get all up into other people's faces. So maybe we'll take more of the tack like Dr. Buss was trying to share with us about having empathy for that other person's point of view. So it's a push-pull period that we're in. So no matter how balanced you think you are, your frustration is going to bubble to the surface at some point. Everyone around you is going to be a little peeved. Everyone you know will be a little peeved, but everyone really is going to be focused on their stuff. So don't worry about it. If somebody does something that you think is an affront to you, trust me, they're doing it for their own stuff, not for you. You know, you probably don't even matter to them. You probably weren't even a thought when they did whatever it was that became an affront to you. So with that awareness, you have the ability to be non-reactive. So slow down, breathe. You'll still be a little peeved, but you'll be happier with yourself that you didn't share it later. Now, 1:24 p.m. today, so we started at 1:16 a.m. 1:24 p.m. today, Pacific time, our vibrant life giver, the sun, left Capricorn and moved into Aquarius. Now, Capricorn was, you know, doggedly persistent. It's set in their ways. It's future oriented. And now we've gone into, the aloof and future oriented Aquarius. Aquarius is the aloof. Now, the good news is we're going to begin to look forward. And we're going to see the future as we move forward with some hope and with some confidence. We'll focus on what we need to do to be successful, and we'll know how to fix what isn't working. These are good traits coming in with some of the energy we've been dealing with so far this year. We'll lose some of our dependence of looking backward to rehash what didn't work and to keep going over that, because it doesn't matter. It's behind us. Now, since Aquarius is more of an objective scientist of the zodiac, we'll move forward as we find the right ingredients to be successful. So think of the alchemist or the chemist, you know, or as we said, the scientist working in that lab and trying the different ingredients. And as the right ingredients come forward, we now move forward in that direction. That product gets moved forward. Now, Aquarius is not a homebody, so this is not going to be... This is really going to be about forward movement in our career, forward movement in our finances. It's not going to be forward movement in relationships, home and family and hearth. I'm not saying those things go to the waste. I'm just saying this forward movement over this next month is really going to be career and finance. So expect to have the confidence and determination and the right action to pull yourself forward and move yourself forward. Now, tomorrow at 5:57 a.m. Pacific time, Venus in Pisces will have what's known as a sextile with Pluto in Capricorn. Now, a sextile are these two planets holding hands and skipping down the lane together. So this is going to offset some of that emotional remoteness of the Sun in Aquarius. Venus is our planet of love and harmony and balance. And in Pisces, it's playing nice with Pluto. And Pisces is all that great sensitivity. It's playing nice with Pluto, which is our planet of transformation and deep psychology. And it's sitting there in our planet of dogged, persistent determination, our sign rather, Capricorn, you know, dogged, persistent determination. So for most of us, if you're in a relationship with others, your love will deepen. Your love will deepen with friends, with family, with intimate partners. You're going to find you're able to talk things through more effectively. You're going to start appreciating what you have versus what you think you lack or don't have. And your focus is going to be more present-centered related to your relationship, while your Aquarius view for career is going to be future. Good relationships can start under this transit. Now, I'm not saying everyone you meet is going to be that good relationship. But it's important to not be hungry or needy out there. Just be open as you meet people or get to introduce to people. It could turn out to be a good relationship that will be in your life for a while. It could be a good friend. It could be a good partner. It could be a lover, a mate for life. It doesn't matter. But the good relationships have better opportunities of creating connections during this transit of Venus in Pisces, sextile in Pluto in Capricorn. So it could be a very productive weekend for those who are looking for relationships in their lives. But as I'm saying, don't go out being needy. Don't go out, you know, being hungry. Just allow those things to happen. So at the same time that you're making progress on your financial and career fronts because of the Sun in Aquarius, you're going to have the opportunity to get more fulfillment in your emotional life. You're with relationships. So it could be a very full and balanced transit going on right now. You know, from the progression for this year, just very quickly, those people in the signs of Aries and Gemini and Virgo and Sagittarius, you're going to have more challenges this year than anyone else. Now, the challenges are not necessarily bad things. I don't know about most of you, but since 2011, my life has been one challenge after another. But what's important about 2017 is that we're all tasked with having a good sense of who we are. We're tasked with operating from the place of who we truly are and being our true self, our divine self, our true light in the world. When Aries and Gemini and Virgo and Sag are having their challenges this year, every challenge will come in the area where they are not operating from their true self. So keep that in mind, because we're going to be pushed. I'm in Aries. We're going to be pushed more because we have a little bit more stubbornness in bringing that true self out. We're going to be pushed a little more to get that true self out here if we're holding back or hesitating on displaying it. Now, Taurus, Leo, Libra, and Aquarius will have an easier year this year. There'll be fewer challenges. They'll be able to move forward. The issue also related to challenges is with challenges come growth. So when it's an easier year for some of these other signs, they'll have less growth. So Taurus and Leo and Libra and Aquarius, well, while they'll have an easier year, they'll also have less growth. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a factual thing. Cancer and Scorpio will have a year of great flow. But as I was sharing with Kira, who's a Cancer, the great flow only comes when they are operating from their true self. So in essence, this is the reverse side of the coin of Aries, Gemini, Virgo, and Sag. Aries, Gemini, Virgo, and Sag will have challenges, but it will be holding true to their true self that will get them through it. Cancer and Scorpio will have flow, but they won't have flow if they're not operating from their true self. So it's very important. However, less challenges are expected for them as long as they are true to who they truly are. And then Capricorn and Pisces, this will be transformational years. That's hard to say what that really means for each and every one, because it will be different. But generally, a transformation comes as an epiphany or as the result of a challenge. And it's going to depend on the person who's facing the transformation as to which it is. And again, this may be the year when they suddenly say, I'm not who I present myself to be, I'm really this, and they bring it out. And it won't be a challenge, but it will be a shift. There will be an adjustment. But it will still be transformational. Or it could be one of those issues where they're not bringing themselves out and the challenge is presented to them and the challenge forces the transformation. But I just want to let you know, those are some overarching guidelines, and I'll be sharing tidbits more and more as we go forward. But we're getting very close. This weekend, as I mentioned, is the virtual psychic fair. But in another week, we are going to enter our Chinese New Year. We will be starting our year of the Red Fire Rooster. And we'll talk more about that next week. Want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Remember, turn the lead in your life into gold. Thank you for listening. Many blessings. Namaste.
Gotta keep those London vibrations.